gonna keep the faith. I'm gonna hold this banner high. I'm gonna finish my race. I'm a same hidden man and a new white stone when I win this war. I've got a church and a family, and they were fighting for.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Defining the Dash podcast. My name is Mark Mullins, your host. Joined today by me, myself, and I. Also joined today by you, the listener. Thank you for tuning in again today. Today we're going to take a few minutes and we are going to examine a statement or two that Christ made. Talk about the value of the vine. Jesus tells us in the book of John, chapter 15, verse number 1 through 5, he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. I'm going to stop reading there this morning, or this evening, depending on the time of day that you're listening to this. And I'm going to take a walk through these few verses. In verse number 1, Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Jesus identifies himself as the true vine. True, here in this point of scripture, means genuine, not fake. What Jesus is saying is that he is the genuine vine. He's not a fake vine. From a vine comes the hydration and the nourishment for each branch and tendril to use. That's how it is in life. From Christ comes all the real strength and grace for us to grow and to sustain ourselves. The Bible also tells us here that my Father, God, is the husbandman. What that means is that God the Father is the vine dresser. He is the one who cares for, and he is the one that is responsible for the vineyard. So what kind of actions does the husbandman or the vine dresser take to demonstrate his care for and his responsibility for the vineyard? First of all, the vine dresser or God the Father nurtures the vineyard. He makes sure that the vineyard is fed and watered when it is needed and as is appropriate. He also trims it. He trims the vines when necessary. He cuts off unnecessary growth to make the vine grow better and puts its focus on fruit production. In other words, the effects of trimming that vine allows that vine to do more good and not just to look good. That makes me think about some plants that I have at the house. I have a blueberry cage, and inside the blueberry cage is several blueberry plants, various varieties. And for several years, while I'm still trying to figure out how to appropriately garden and how to treat different plants, for several years I focused on the growth of the blueberry plant. My soil pH was too high, so I had to focus on lowering the pH of the roots, and that's one of the big things I found with growing blueberry plants. They're way different from any other plants I've ever grown. And so I focused on the roots, and I made sure I watered it. I set it up on a timer system, and I fed the plant, and I thought I was doing everything appropriately, and there was a lot that I was doing right, and I would get a lot of growth, lots of branches, lots of leaves. It would look really good in a newspaper, but the reality of it is there was very minimal to no blueberries being produced, and this bothered me because how hard is it to raise a blueberry plant? And upon further research, I realized that my problem was I never trimmed the bush. I never cut off the unnecessary growth to make it grow better and put the plant's focus on fruit production. It was very good at looking good, but it was not good at doing good because the vine dresser, myself, was negligent when it come to the blueberry plant. So God the Father, he nurtures the vine. He trims it when it's necessary. He defends the vine. He keeps away harmful things that would hurt the vine or fruit, whether that's people or animals, if you will. Think about this in a carnal way. God the Father, as the vine dresser, has a deep interest in the growth and the welfare of the vine. Verse number 2, the Bible says, Jesus said that every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Interesting note here, Jesus says, every branch in me. This has nothing to do with the sinner. This has nothing to do with the backslider. This has to do with the followers of Jesus Christ. Branches that are in him. Now keep in mind that a branch can be various sizes, ranging from the tiniest tendril to the strongest stem, and they're all connected to the vine. Branches in Christ, all various sizes, all producing different size fruits, but all producing fruits. Note with me that we are nothing without him. We are connected to him. And we can do nothing of any real value without him. The Bible tells us that it is in him that we live and we move and we have our being. It is in him that we do that, not in ourselves. Just as the vine and the branch has this intimate relationship, we become united to him when we embrace him as our Savior, Redeemer, and friend. We become united with Christ as the branch does the vine on a very intimate level. We become united with Christ in our interest. The things that interest us are the things that interest him. In our feelings, we feel similar to things the way he would feel about them. Our desires, when we're united with the branch, when we're united with the vine, our desires as the branches should be that of the vine. Our purpose as branches should line up with that of the vine. Finally, our destiny as branches should line up to that of the vine. We have a very intimate relationship with the vine. And because of that intimate relationship of interest and feelings, desires, purpose, and destiny, we are willing to encounter the same trials as the vine, the same contempt as the vine, and the same persecution as the vine. We are not superhumans. We are simply connected to the vine. Next, the Bible tells us that every branch that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Interesting here that these branches that are cut off are the branches that simply don't produce fruit. It's not so much what they did do as what they did not do. These branches give no evidence of any kind of fruit production and purpose. Now, interesting here, Jesus said, every branch in me. How can you be connected to Christ as a branch is connected to the vine and the Father, the husbandman, cut you off? This is dealing with cases similar to that of Judas, apostate disciples, and false and nominal Christians. Christians that exist in name only. Christians that are Christians on Sunday, but come Monday morning forget their morality at home. The Bible tells us here that God cuts him off. That cutoff process is done by a few different ways. It can be done by a few different ways. One way it can be done is by church discipline. Another way is by deceitfulness of riches and cares of this world. Just like cases like Judas, Achan, Ananias, although truly connected to the vine and having access to the same graces that the other branches had access to, time showed us and themselves what they were really made out of. Were they connected to the vine? Sure they were. Did they at some point produce fruit? Sure they did. But would time show that their fruit production would dwindle off? And their interests would change? And their feelings and desires and purpose and destiny would change? Sure it did. And because of that, the husbandman would cut them off. But interesting here to note that every branch that beareth fruit, all true Christians, Christians to whom the blood has been applied, true Christians, true followers of Christ, true people that love him with all that they are, true Christians have an effect, the husbandman does something special to true Christians. The Bible says that every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it so it can produce more fruit. So the question I have to you, the listener, and maybe you may be wondering, what kind of fruit does a Christian produce? As a branch connected to the true vine? Good question. Galatians tells us in Galatians chapter number 5, verse 22 and 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Just as the natural vine and branches produce fruit to promote the happiness and the existence of those around it, so does the Christian live so that those around him or her will be happy and encouraged by their example and their labors of love. Simply put, if I am identifying me, myself, as a branch that is connected to the vine, my life should be producing love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. If there's a lack of production of those fruits, it would do me well to examine my connection to the vine. And same with you, listener. The Bible tells us here that he purges the vine, the branch. So what does that mean to purge something? When you're purging a branch, what you're doing is you are pruning that branch. And so when Christ is purging something, he's pruning something. God the Father is pruning it. He is cleaning it by pruning. In this process, he takes away what hindered their usefulness. This can be painful, but it is very much purposeful. One of the hardest things to do as a new gardener in my life, in my experience, is to cut off a large and handsome branch that either bears no fruit or shades and thus injures other branches. In the blueberry example that I gave a few minutes ago in this little lesson, in that example, I was growing lush blueberry stems and beautiful leaves, but little to no fruit. When I examined the plant after watching several YouTube videos, thank God for YouTube, I realized that my problem was that my branches were too old. I had branches on the blueberry bushes that were probably 6 to 7 years old. And the problem with that is that most fruit production done on a blueberry plant is done in the first or second year of growth. Definitely anything beyond 3 years is going to be mostly, if not all, leaves. And so although I had some branches that were probably 3/4 inch in diameter, maybe even an inch in diameter, huge branches that were super old, and what I thought would be really useful, those branches were shading other branches and injuring other branches, and they weren't doing anything productive. So what did I do? I went and got my shears, my loppers, cut them things off. Very painful process. But as a result of that, the plant itself in general was grateful. Maybe. I feel like it. I'm grateful because this year we should have some blueberries. I said that to say that God takes away property sometimes of his people and their idols that they have to encourage more growth. Sometimes when their loppers or the shears are being applied to my life, it doesn't feel good. But it is for my best interest. Then the Bible says in verse number 3, that's probably clear as mud. Oh well, who made these notes? Oh, these are my notes. Verse number 3, the Bible says, "Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." Now ye are clean. Notice here with me that the Bible did not say that they were perfect. They were clean. What does that mean? What that means is they may have still had erroneous notions that the Messiah would remove. He had removed their foolish views of respect and earthly honors. He had taught them to be willing to forsake all and follow him. They were clean. Maybe not perfect, but clean. How did he do this? How did he clean his followers? He cleaned them through the word, which I have spoken unto you. He taught them by his word. Interesting note here is that he taught them by his word. But in order to teach somebody something, they have to be willing to be taught. A student never learns from the master unless they're willing to be taught. After he taught him his word, he quickened them by his word that he had taught them. Next, he revived them by the influence that had quickened them. Finally, he made them more pure in motive and in life. Now they were willing to take the word to the nations and bear more fruit than they had up to this point. But that whole process began with them being taught by the word. Verse number 4 and 5, real quick, we'll be done. Verse number 4, "Abide in me and I in ye. Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing." Abide in me simply means depend on him. It's a part of abiding in him, the branch connected to the vine. Obey his doctrines. Imitate his example. Constantly have faith in him. Those four things are simply abiding in him. And as a response of us abiding in him, the Bible tells us that he will abide in us. He will teach us. When he abides in us, he will guide us when he abides in us. And he will comfort us when he abides in us. Thank you for tuning again this week to the Defining the Dash program. We appreciate your support and your time, for it's the listeners like you that allows us to go on and really gives us somebody to talk to once a week. We certainly do appreciate your time. Until next week, which it should be better next week, so hang in there. But until next week, let's keep defining the dash in our lives and make every moment count.